2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to episode 14 of the Strong Style Story Podcast. I am your host, Jeffrey Wessel. With me is my usual co-host, Chris DeMassino.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And our somewhat frequent guest, J.B. Rowe, is with us today, too.
Hello.
And
It has been a while since we've seen J.B., so how have you been, man?
Keeping busy.
Understandable, definitely.
So, this is our first time we're actually recording while we're under the iTunes umbrella, because I don't know if you checked out the regular blog we do at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. We went iTunes shortly after episode 13 came out.
Yep.
So Chris can give us a little bit more about that because he's the minister of information.
No, it was mostly a situation where I finally figured out the RSS feed and everything that we needed to do with it. I submitted it over to iTunes. They looked it and they gave us the green light on it. So you can officially search us on iTunes under Strong Style Story Podcast. You'll find episodes, I think, around episode 5, 6, and 4, I'm still working on getting the first 4 episodes reloaded up on to our feed here. I should hopefully do that sometime over this week, and it'll be between episodes for sure, but you'll see those pop up there eventually as well. But yeah, give us a follow going forward on iTunes as well. I'm going to be working also on trying to get us on Stitcher and Google Play as well, so expanding the horizons.
And, of course, we're also still on at strongstylestory.podomatic.com,
yep,
the original home. Although we can't keep all of our episodes there, so iTunes may end up being the default location at some point. And also, we'd also like to apologize for the last couple of episodes as for a technical snafu that we weren't aware of until long after the episodes were recorded. With Chris's voice being solo, but we think we finally have that resolved as well.
Yeah, my audio is just a jerk, you guys. I'm sorry. This should hopefully be better moving forward here.
So, yeah, hopefully we won't have to, you know, keep turning up and turning down your volume in order to get this, in order to listen to this show. So, hey, we just finished the Destruction Tour along with the three Destruction shows in Tokyo, Hiroshima, and Kobe, which, you know, I still don't know why New Japan does these three, you know, which is basically taking one big show and splitting them up into three ones because there's a lot of filler matches on them. But there were some good things, there were some bad things, and there are some things that is going to cause an argument today.
Yeah, and as an interesting tidbit for everybody as well too. Destruction, more often than not, it wasn't until recent years that they really started splitting these shows, because back when they started the event in 2007, up until, I want to say, 2013, it was just one event, and then past 2 years, they had it split into two different shows, and this year was like the first one where we saw it going to three shows instead, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, and they do this too with, the New Beginning... is split into two shows now, and there's Wrestling Dontaku, which they always precede it with, you know, Wrestling Hinokuni, although this year they couldn't do that because of the Kumamoto earthquake. They couldn't do Wrestling Hinokuni this year, but so there were championship matches and feature matches to be had. Of course, we're just going to start in order here. We're probably mostly going to be focusing on the title matches. The first one was a banger to start with at Destruction in Tokyo, which was on September 17th from Tokyo Oda Ward Gymnasium, in which a spinally injured Katsuyori Shibata retained the NEVER Openweight Championship against the Ring of Honor TV champion Bobby Fish. How screwed is Shibata right now? Because when I hear spine injury, I'm thinking, oh, God.
Yeah, between the whole spine situation and then just his shoulder was still all banged up too from the past few months, and just right now I feel like Shibata really just needs, from a personal perspective, I feel that he probably could use a couple of months off just to really recover from all this stuff. But at the same time, he's in such a run right now with the level of matches that he's been having over the past year that it would almost put like any and all momentum he's kind of gathered for himself this year probably down to a screeching halt if you were to take time off. So it's a really loaded question altogether, depending on what you specifically care about.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, your long-term health and safety is more paramount than a good run with a never open weight belt.
And I agree entirely on that. My only fear, obviously, is the fact that it took him so long to kind of gain just a little bit of goodwill with everybody in the offices again, to where I'd just rather not see him have to repeat that process all over again, if it can be helped.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference between walking away when they needed him and being injured. I mean, there's a distinct difference there. That being said, he is still booked to be defending the Never Belt at King of Pro Wrestling, which is, you know, a topic we're going to get to. So we'll move on from there. I did think it was a great match, though. Not as good as it could have been, and I think it's, you know, partially because of Shibata's injury status, but also Bobby Fish as a singles wrestler has been really slow going. Everything I've seen of him, his matches have been slow going. I don't know if it's him or if it's just coincidence.
It's an interesting question to handle at a certain point for sure, but I would just say it's just been a slow start for him, and maybe give it some time, give it a couple more months, maybe a couple more shows in the New Japan portion for him to kind of really adapt to that. But out of the two in Red Dragon, I'd say O'Reilly definitely has the better portion of singles experience. So
indeed. Then the main event of Destruction in Tokyo was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. All hail the new champion. Viva los campeón, Bushi bested Kushida. Although it was a screw finish, mostly, but it was a good match though. I mean, I saw a lot of people did not like it. I thought it was just fine.
I enjoyed it for what it was, even though it felt a little overbooked between the bump, obviously. Naito running in and just, you know, Elgin having to run in to run off Naito, and then just, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I mean, all the same, I mean, it's great, you know, especially with the last couple months Bushi has had, you know, especially the debacle that was Super J-Cup. It's nice that he's gotten this recognition now.
He kind of needed that after Super J-Cup. Especially considering the build to get him in there and to just kind of, you know, take him out in one round, which we're all still kind of salty about.
Considering just Super Jacob was just straight awful. I don't care what anybody says,
but it was
not good. But so yeah, I like the match. Bushi is the 74th champ, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. Who does he challenge? Who challenges him next? Because obviously they're going to hang on to Kushida for Wrestle Kingdom at this point. I mean, they have to.
Yeah.
So who challenges him next? You know, Liger or
you could do Taguchi. Taguchi. I still feel that they could do Ospreay as well, but I think that would have made more sense if they still kept the Chaos Los Ingobernables de Japón war going. But
yeah. I'm still a little salty that they went away from that, but you know, booking is what booking is.
Something that they probably can still come back to sometime next year, from the looks of it. And
yeah. So right on. So, JB, do you have anything to add on any of this, or
No, I mean, I missed the first two of the Destructions on the tour, so I only got to watch Destruction and Kobe.
Okay, fair enough.
But at the very least, how did you react to the news when Bushi did win the title, though? Was it like a leap for joy? Was it just a hooray? Or...
Cause we know I kept away from the social media, so I didn't know he won. And so when I was watching Kobe and Destruction, and he had the junior heavyweight title, I was like, when did this happen? So I got a...
It happened on September the 17th, as it happens. Yep.
Just a little bit before, but yeah, that's, you know, somebody in Ingobernables with gold, but not the only person in Ingobernables that eventually won gold, but we'll get to that in due time.
Yep. Moving on to...
Prophecy is to be fulfilled.
Say again?
It said my prophecy is going to be fulfilled, man. Watch.
Oh
God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here we go.
Let's go. We did more, and there may be a couple arguments in this show.
We'll move on. We'll get to that when we get to that. But yeah, as of now...
Moving on to Destruction in Hiroshima, and I'm looking at the results again, and there's something I just had to ask, which was, is Rocky Romero in the doghouse? Because he took so many falls on this tour. It was insane.
I think a lot of it seems to be that they're building something between him and Trent. Like, and some sort of, yeah, just whether it is, like, a complete separation of RPG Vice at this point, or whether they're doing this whole thing as, oh, hey, these guys are having trouble with each other, but then they get their stuff together and, I don't know, they become junior heavyweight tag team champions again, or something along those lines.
Something goes, Rocky Romero took the, even when, you know, Roppongi Vice won against, you know, Young Lions... it was Beretta that was you know, winning it. Mm-hmm. Which, on that note, do we still like Henare from what we saw of him on this tour?
I thought Henare did okay for the role that he had in it. I still think it's too small of a sample size to really tell, but he did fine.
I mean, so far, I think he's looking good. And Kanemitsu seems to be getting a little bit of minor push.
Kanemitsu's intensity surprised the heck out of me watching these shows. Like, I was completely on board with him there at one point. So it's nice to see that.
Yeah, Kawato's not developing as well as we thought, I don't think, at this point.
Kawato might need some more time.
Yeah, he definitely might be a late bloomer in that regard. But anyway, moving on to the title and feature matches of Destruction in Hiroshima. The Briscoes, this will be the only time I ever say this, but thank God the Briscoes won in the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match over the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champions, the Young Bucks.
And I've been giving that a little bit of thought, too, just because I initially, when I was driving back home today when we're recording this, I actually was kind of just going over the matches that had happened during the tour over my head. And I was kind of, in a way, just kind of like you, I was kind of glad that they actually let the Briscoes retain rather than having the Young Bucks try to unify both the titles, because to me, this whole Ring of Honor New Japan relationship for a while has felt very one-sided, where it's been New Japan kind of getting more of a spotlight than Ring of Honor to begin with. But it seems like that's starting to change now, because the Briscoes are obviously, you know, they're heavyweight tag champions. And I'd say, to be honest, in a heavyweight tag team division that doesn't have much, I will take them over the Gorillas of Destiny any day of the week. No offense to Tama Tonga, but...
Well, that's coming up. that match is coming up again.
But I just think that at this point, they're in a good spot with the Briscoes holding those titles, because not only can they do defenses, obviously, in New Japan, and they can just, you know, go to Ring of Honor and defend those titles too against other teams and kind of get fresher matchups, even if people are not contracted to New Japan directly. At the very least, it keeps the prestige of the titles up and running until, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, which, who knows, maybe they're saving a heavyweight team to take it from them on that particular
Don't forget we have a World Tag League coming.
Yes, exactly. There's that to keep in mind as well. So
and furthermore, I just want to point out, remind people, because I know it's so easy to forget. The Young Bucks are actually Ring of Honor contracted wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget. I mean, yep. I know it's easy to forget, but
nope, they definitely are, and it's one of those things right now where it was kind of a Ring of Honor showcase match, to be completely honest, between these two teams, and it was all right for what it was.
It was. On that note, the following match was a Ring of Honor world title match.
Adam Cole finally wrestled in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I am so happy.
He finally wrestled in New Japan Pro Wrestling, defeating Will Ospreay for the Ring of Honor world title.
Defending it.
Chris, you're not going to like what I have to say next.
Didn't think it was that good of a match, did you?
Not only that, but Adam Cole is not over in Japan at all.
And I think a lot of it does have to do with the fact that it was his first time there. And to me, because I've been thinking about this too, because there wasn't really, it didn't seem like there was much of a reaction between the two of them. The match itself was okay, but I feel a lot of it was...
The match itself, I didn't think was that great. I mean, it did not feel like a world title match. It felt like a house show.
Mm-hmm.
Match, you know, that you know, maybe a Bola match, even.
It feels like something, you know, that they could have possibly thrown at like Korakuen Hall or something like that during like one of the lead-up shows rather than being
a match. I mean,
I'm completely with you on that, but I do think that with Cole, give him some time and actually give him stuff to do with specifically like the whole thing. Obviously, you have Kenny Omega and the Bucks kind of being the main attraction of Bullet Club, if you will, at this point. Throw in Cole with them, have him be part of those antics, have really the four of them be their own thing, and just kind of, because at this point they've done almost a really good job of really distancing Kenny and the Bucks from the whole Bullet Club picture overall there, which
I think it seems to be a little counterintuitive to, you know, if you want to keep Bullet Club alive as a thing.
Look, I still think at this point they're only keeping it alive because it sells t-shirts still.
Well, yeah.
It's a brand. I mean, it's a brand. But
well, I mean, I think keeping it alive because Captain Bullet Club is going to save the club. I mean, that's clearly what they're building to, right?
It's Bone Soldier now, JB. Bone Soldier, and don't you
Bone
forget
Soldier.
It.
Bone Soldier. Yeah, but, I mean, it was just amazing watching this match and Cole. I mean, first of all, that theme music, his New Japan theme music needs to go. I don't know why they did that instead of doing his
Ring of Honor theme.
His Ring of Honor theme, because Ring of Honor theme is great. I mean,
yes,
it fits him so well. But I mean, the three Adam Cole babies in the introduction, and then him trying to do it three more times to crickets.
Yeah, that
looked bad.
It made me feel bad for him because it's like, I'm not sure how much notice he seemed to have gotten on what they were going to do with the music because, well, it just, yeah, it didn't work by any means. And
I hate to say this. I mean, obviously he's one of the most over guys in Ring of Honor and has been for some time. And, you know, he's their world champion, but yeah, it did not come across with any gravitas, you know, as much gravitas it has in professional wrestling.
But here's the thing,
because Ring of Honor basically has like the B team.
Yeah, it very much, and it has been like that for a long time. And I feel that they're now finally trying to change that, but it's going to take some time. Because if you think about it, Jay Lethal wasn't all that over during the times in which he was defending the belt either.
He wasn't, but I think he was more over than Cole was. I mean, again, you're right. This was only his first match.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the same time, Jay Lethal also had more opportunities, and he seemed to be pretty over the last couple of times because he was fighting, you know, definite fan favorites like Tamaki Honma and Satoshi Kojima. Yeah, they're lower in the card, but they're still fan favorites.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with Cole, the more stuff that you get him involved in, given, of course, we're just talking a one match sample size right now, and Lethal had a few runs. He had a few shows well, he in which he was Tokyo able to do this year. I mean, exactly.
Yeah. He defended it against Elgin, who is also very over in New Japan, mm-hmm. In the Tokyo Dome.
Look, Elgin at this point is, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, JB.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I got a hypothetical situation here.
Uh-huh.
So, Bullet Club is basically dead in the water in New Japan. I mean, we can all kind of agree on that, right?
The writing's kind of on the wall, yeah.
Yes. we're kind of jumping ahead, too, but the writing's on the wall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, why don't they just get banished to Ring of Honor full time?
Yeah, I mean, especially the Gorillas are way more over in Ring of Honor than they are in New Japan right now.
Right, and there's some really interesting booking situations you can have. I don't want to kind of retread invasion nonsense, but I mean, there is possibilities there. And it would give them a much needed breath of fresh air, because right now, man, I can't even watch a Bullet Club match when I'm watching New Japan.
I mean, the Bullet Club has become with the exception of Kenny Omega, it has become unwatchable. And on that note, I don't know how somehow I got through this match, but you know, Kazuchika Okada in a non-title match beat Bad Luck Fale.
Which again for me, it's like match. It's interesting to me because most of us were figuring that Fale was going to take the win here and then they'd have that match in New Zealand, was it, at the show that he's helping?
Yeah, at the charity show that he's throwing, yeah. But so I don't know why, yeah, so they hinted heavily at this and then suddenly Okada wins. Okay. Well, that was, you know, rather pointless.
Just seems like it was one of those things where and they didn't really seem to advertise it that much that it could. Well, then again, no, because it makes sense in the regards of like trying to set it up as such, but then not pulling it through. It's a little bit questionable in this case why Okada had this match against Fale in the first place, unless we're talking it as more of just him avenging his G1 loss to him, which.
Well, yeah, but even then, by rights, Fale should already have a title match challenge because he beat Okada.
And that's the part that kind of got me by surprise that this was non-title rather than being for the belt right there and then.
Yeah.
Because I think you could have, they definitely could have done a little bit more with that on the drama side, especially given that, you know, Takahashi was there accompanying Fale, Gedo was in Okada's corner as always, so.
Yeah, it just. You know, honestly, before, you know, jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, honestly, the Destruction in Hiroshima just was an overall meh show, I thought. It really did nothing for me, and including, you know, it was a good match, but it did nothing for me. Kenny Omega retaining his Tokyo Dome IWGP contendership challenge rights. Against Yoshihashi, who beat him during G1 Climax.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this whole show did nothing for me. I hate to say it.
Hiroshima was definitely, in my opinion, the weakest out of the three.
Mm. Yeah, which was a shame because it had, like, the most, you know, feature, you know, and title matches when you look at it. But mm-hmm.
It really did. And then, obviously, we had the main event with Kenny Omega defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship Challenge Right Certificate, or AKA the briefcase, against Yoshihashi as a rematch of their G1 Climax match, where Yoshihashi kind of shocked the world, if you will, that very first night and just beat him. So it's like
we'll see what happens when you rip off Shingo Takagi.
Apparently, bad things happen. Very bad things.
I've only watched Kobe, and that was supposed to be the last show, right?
It was. Blow.
That was the third show of the tour, yeah, of those three Destruction shows, yeah.
I was pretty underwhelmed from that show. I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of surprised how kind of meh the whole show was.
Oh, you mean Kobe? You thought? I like Kobe, but Again, I think maybe splitting up these destruction shows is really hurting it, because you know, again, you get a bunch of you get a lot of filler matches, and you know, especially since you know Kanemitsu was on in a feature in the third match on the card.
Yeah,
lots of tag opener stuff for like most of the card.
Yeah, well, and then Kobe had this weird situation happen where the never open weight six man comedy titles were supposed to be defended by Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet, and Matt Sydal against Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, but then Matt Sydal for some reason couldn't make Japan. He had flight issues for days, and he later said it was passport issues or something, and he was chilling in Hawaii while this was going on. Well, that kind of dovetailed into the other reason I kept hearing that Mr. Sydal let's just say he may have run afoul of some of the most restrictive cannabis laws in the world. The same ones that got Paul McCartney back in 1980.
Yeah, 420 for life, Sydal.
Now, again, I have no proof, so please, you know, Matt Sydal, don't sue me for this. But unfortunately, we do hear that Hawaii is, you know, known for some quality chiba too. So.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in Colorado, where it's been legalized along with Washington. People are making a killing business-wise out here from that. So, as long as the tax money is going somewhere useful, which seems to be the case, you know, hooray for that. No issues with it. But yet, it made for a very interesting situation show-wise, in which, well, we ended up getting David Finlay getting involved in the action.
David Finlay, less than a month after he kind of finally graduated from Young Lion status, David Finlay has a title in New Japan, folks.
Yeah.
And we'll be challenging for another one.
Dreams come true, ladies and gentlemen. Dreams come true.
That unicorn, that rainbow unicorn at the Tokyo Dome, it's coming, folks.
Look, the fact that we could very well have David Finlay be on, you know, if they do keep this run going with the comedy belts, or just, you know, singles-wise, the fact that he could very well be featured in Wrestle Kingdom just months after his graduation from Young Lion status, it's kind of a credit to him, too, and his perseverance and hard work out there as well. So, like, I'm pretty stoked for him, to be honest.
Except, you know, of that class of Young Lions, though, he was the one that actually impressed me the least, because I would much rather, you know, on any given day, watch Jay White or, you know, Raijin and Fujin, you know, Sho Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu.
Yeah. Although I feel for what they're doing with CMLL, you know, Raijin and Fujin, they're going to do fine. And then Jay White has been, you know, getting some eyes open in Ring of Honor. Just give him some time there for a little bit, eventually bring him back.
That Young Lion class is pretty great. I mean, I don't know where you... I mean, Kamitachi was from the one before that. I don't know who else was in his Young Lion class, though. Was Watanabe?
I think so. I think Watanabe was part of that same
Watanabe group. And Hiromu Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kamitachi. But, So, Kojima, Ricochet, and Finlay beat the not over Adam Cole and the still pretty over Young Bucks,
which I think was a better showcase, I think, for Cole, just because of the fact he's done these matches alongside the Young Bucks before, so they played off each other fairly well in that. So
they did, but Cole, I think at least this time Cole got the hint after the second Adam Cole baby, like, you know, maybe this isn't working, you know. So I think maybe Adam Cole may have to just adjust himself a little bit, you know, do things differently in New Japan if he's going to keep coming back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think
he's going to have to adjust.
Yep. And I think he'll be able to. So it's just a matter of really time, and then the more matches he gets in there, they'll do some stuff.
Yeah. JB, do you have anything about that match?
You mean the match I didn't watch?
The one match that you didn't see on that card. Yes, exactly. That one.
Yeah, I think it was by stars, man. All the way.
Oh, boy. So did nobody else watch Red Dragon against Fighting Club GA?
Oh, I did. I thought it was hilarious, actually, how Nakanishi was nearly squashing O'Reilly and Fish on his own, and then them having to deal with the weight issue to kind of get I think it was to get Nakanishi down on the mat so that O'Reilly could finally like apply an armbar or something on him.
Do Armageddon on him. Yeah, no, that was...
there were some good comedy spots in that match for sure, and Nagata's still my favorite third generation dad altogether.
Really?
All the way.
I put him about third between Kojima and Tenzan. But to me,
preference wise, I'd say it's Nagata, Kojima, Tenzan, and then Nakanishi is a fourth, obviously.
Yeah, well, I was never a huge fan of Nakanishi, but moving on, there was before the main event, there was a feature match too, in which Kazuchika Okada, Yoshihashi, and the world class tag team of Jado and Gato against the GHC heavyweight and junior heavyweight tag team champions, Naomichi Marufuji, the getting more confused by the minute Toriano, Daisuke Harada, and Atsushi Kotoge. What are they? Momo no Seishun tag?
Yeah.
Is their name?
I believe so, yes.
I liked that match. I thought it was great. I think the crowd getting behind this whole ordeal with Noah is really helping.
Yeah, definitely. And Yano just seems so confused because, yeah, he's heavyweight tag champs with Naomichi Marufuji, but he's also a part of Chaos, and it's just like he just seems so confused, and it's hilarious.
And then he goes and teams with the Briscoes, and so many fingers and so many pies for Toriano.
Yeah, definitely.
So, did you see that one, JB? Or?
If it's not from Kobe, no.
Yeah, we're now talking Kobe.
We're
at this
talking
point.
Kobe. This yeah, is we're all talking Kobe. Kobe.
Everything we are talking Kobe. Kobe.
Everything yes. is Kobe. This yeah, man. Is Kobe. Cars. Everything is Kobe. So,
yeah.
So did you see that one?
Probably not.
New Japan, okay. Noah Dads. Great. And then obviously the big one in Kobe, the main event.
Yeah. All hail Viva Los Campeón. Tetsuya Naito beats Michael Elgin in a very, very good match.
Best match out of the entire tour, of these entire three shows.
I still think I like Kushida and Bushi.
Bushi, Kushida, and Naito and Elgin. Kind of, it's a toss-up between the two, and I can understand that. Personally, I just like Naito Elgin a little bit better myself, but nothing against the other one by any means here.
So now Naito is your Intercontinental Champion.
He's still throwing away the belt like a boss, which is great. That continues.
That was awesome.
But I remember the moment I saw that happen, because I ended up actually catching the stream of it live, like in the middle of the morning. I actually took like a nap and woke up just in time for that main event to watch
right.
it. Saw it. The moment Naito won, I'm just thinking to myself, damn it. JB's prediction.
JB.
It's one step closer.
We had to bury you, man. Because you birthed this idea into the world, and now it's out there.
Yeah, man.
It could happen. Oh, dear God, it could happen.
Why would you do this to us? Why would you do this?
I'm just speaking truth. My fault.
I mean, and I'll fill this in just for those of you who may just be new listening in and things like that for iTunes and the like. JB's whole theory does have to do with the fact that a couple of years back, Tetsuya Naito wins the G1 Climax. Cool. Awesome. He doesn't get the best reaction on the face of the planet. Boo. That sucks. New Japan decides to go, hey, Tanahashi and Nakamura are fighting for the IC title. Okada and Naito aren't really all that fully established yet. Let's put it to a vote. The Japanese crowd and fans in general, they vote for Tanahashi and Nakamura to be the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, in which means Naito, by winning G1 Climax, which would have guaranteed him a main event spot in Tokyo Dome, that doesn't happen. Him and Okada are both very, very upset by this, as they probably should be. Both took it very hard. Okada kind of used that as motivation to basically prove everybody and their mother wrong, that he is basically the ace of the place these days. And with Naito, it's been an interesting story in which he's turned that frustration that he's felt into an actual in kayfabe storyline, which there are strokes of genius to that. But JB's theory is that in order to finally get his long-awaited revenge for being denied the Tokyo Dome spot 2-3 years ago at this point, he's going to force New Japan officials' hands into having another vote for the Wrestle Kingdom main event. And if Naito versus whoever he fights for the IC title beats...
It's going to be Tanahashi.
Okada, yeah. More than likely, it's Tanahashi. And if that happens, where Naito and Tanahashi end up winning over Okada and Kenny Omega for the main event spot, oh dear. Oh dear. Because, yeah, Naito gets his revenge in kayfabe and probably gets, you know, the feeling of main eventing Wrestle Kingdom, but what does that do to Okada? What does that do to Kenny Omega, in fact? So it's like...
Well, Kenny Omega is going to be going to WWE within 2 years anyway. I mean, yes, I know, he says, but, you know, his biggest feud in wrestling is with WWE wrestlers right now. I mean, let's face it. And I'm just going to reiterate my point from last show is that if you put this to a vote again, you have basically just told Kazuchika Okada that you have no faith in him to carry the promotion.
Which would continue the story that has been going on between him and Tanahashi for the last 4 years, right?
Yes.
But that story's over.
It was done.
Wrestle Kingdom 10. That was the end of it. Okada won.
And we would hope that it would stay like that, but I'm also seeing JB's point here altogether, which, yeah. There's some scenarios at play here, gentlemen.
Not going to continue a feud when it makes money just because it wraps up the story? Are you kidding?
Well, no, obviously not. They did a G1 match, and well, you know, if you want to, you know, call that another starting point because it was a draw, then
yeah, man.
So be it.
It's got legs. But, look, the reality is Tanahashi is their biggest drawing star, period. No one can really argue that, right?
Okay. Yeah, nobody could argue that. Can we also argue that Okada is over as hell? And
He's over, but can he main event the same way Tanahashi main events now?
I think the biggest thing is that you have to give him a shot to do it, and having Wrestle Kingdom go up to a vote yet again for the second time in however many years doesn't really help his chances to really prove that, especially against a newer opponent in Kenny Omega this time around. He's getting something that's not the norm with Tanahashi or even Naito, who he's fought against a couple of times over the course of this year. So it's... To me, I don't like the idea of the vote just because of the fact that we haven't seen, outside of Tanahashi matches, how Okada can handle the whole Tokyo Dome vibe. And I'd like to see that this next year.
And besides which, I think we've been seeing more than enough examples that recently that vote, you know, putting it to the people leads us some really dumb decisions, i.e., you know, the Big Japan World Deathmatch title being defended as the main event at Big Japan's, you know, Sumo Hall show, and, you know, Brexit. So that's all I'm going to say about democracy.
So wait, you're thinking that if they do put it to a vote, it wouldn't be a worked vote?
I mean, I don't think so. I think it'd be the same way as the first one went.
That's assuming that the first one wasn't a worked vote, which is admittedly, ironically, something I never even considered.
Oh, man.
You've got a point, actually. Yeah. Ooh.
Y'all get worked.
Yeah. Wow, this podcast got heavy real quick.
Boy, we've got some, we've got burials and counter burials going on today.
This destruction in 2016, not just New Japan shows, it's literal pandemonium, a Strong Style Story podcast.
Well, you know, all this could have just been avoided if they, you know, had Naito win G1 Climax like they should have, but, you know, that's just me.
Tomato, tomato, or something.
Right.
I think you have more opportunities to tell an interesting stories for different people simultaneously. Like four birds with one stone.
I agree, but again, I think you also need to look long-term, too, is that this is what you're telling Kazuchika Okada, that, oh yeah, you're the ace, we just don't think you can carry the promotion, so...
And to here, me, the
once again, we're going to do this to you by putting the lower belt...
Yeah.
Higher on the Tokyo Dome card than
the heavyweight title that you're carrying.
The heavyweight title, yeah.
How many times has Okada lost to Tanahashi at a Wrestle Kingdom event?
How many times? Hold on, I gotta think. Well, twice.
Yeah, two times.
Two times. Out of the three that they've had?
They've had three Wrestle Kingdom events, but, you know.
Overall in the rivalry, I think Okada's just over by one match at this point. Like
they have the last two draws,
but I'm just trying to think in terms of records wise.
I think the Wrestle Kingdom 10 win put Okada ahead.
Yeah.
How far back are we going to go? I mean, do we count that Young Lion match that he had with Tanahashi or no?
I think Young Lion
main event.
I'm just trying to think to myself. I'm like, I don't think we count those in particular. But
I mean, it was cool. I mean, he was leaning against the ropes and wouldn't let Tanahashi in the ring. I mean, come on, it was cool. This is a conversation that's going to continue up until Wrestle Kingdom happens, I'm sure.
That happens, right? Yeah.
What? Up until Wrestle Kingdom happens, this is gonna we're gonna go back to this. And in the meantime, yeah, Naito is still being Naito, so that's great. I mean, we can all get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Faux show. But. So, all right. Any other thoughts regarding Destruction, other than it was really kind of underwhelming a little bit?
I think we all may agree that it probably would have been just better as a one card, as a one show card, if they had put everything that they
or were even a two even them. A two show card.
Yeah.
Yeah, even two shows. But yeah, I mean, you know, things are what they are, and the money's got to get made somehow. So, all right. Well, moving on. We're gonna move on to starting later this week. In fact, we have the next New Japan show. It's a New Japan road show called Ganbaro Uonuma from Niigata Uonuma City Horino Uchi Gymnasium. There is a title match on this card. It's the Never Six Man Comedy belts. And actually, this one actually has some high comedy potential considering who the opponents are. It's Kojima, Ricochet, and David Finlay against Will Ospreay and Roppongi Vice. So actually, I can kind of see this being a good show, actually. A good match, rather.
Yeah, good. Definitely leads some nice little spots there. Obviously, the whole RPG Vice mini situation as well, too. Can they get along to try and win these titles, or this miscommunication or something kind of cost him again as well. So
right. This will also be the debut and unveiling of the former Captain New Japan, Bone Soldier, Mitsuhide Hirasawa, Hiroki Saito, I think, was one of his other names. I don't know. I mean, this dude has had 20 gimmicks.
Look, all I was in for when that initial turn did happen were two things. One, Yoshitatsu getting beaten up, because I just don't like Yoshitatsu all that much at this point anymore.
He has been such a gigantic flop. I really was kind of hoping that would be the last of him, but no, here he is on a feature show.
Look, Yoshitatsu getting beaten up was life, but then the realization that Captain fucking New Japan, as our good friend Prince Devitt would put it, joining the club. If anything spells the death of Bullet Club, this is it.
Yeah, I think we have hit. I mean, we have hit the WCW 2000 point on the NWO here.
No, when even Devitt Balor is tweeting about this going, it's just like basically saying how absurd it was once you saw what happened. You're just like, yeah, you guys might have just jumped the shark on that one.
Yeah, I think. Well, and plus, you know, again, I hate to rub this in, Chris, but you know, Adam Cole is being put with
Adam Cole is going to have to carry this entire match. Yeah, Adam Cole is going to have to carry this entire match. It's him and Taguchi, basically. Well,
yeah, it's Robinson. Down to those two.
Juice Robinson too. He's not bad. Like, I liked his work.
Yeah, but he's not bad. He's not great.
He's okay.
I mean, I don't think we could put together a top five Juice Robinson matches at this point, so let's not get ahead of ourselves on that one. But yeah, my God, can we kill Bone Soldier? Can we kill Yoshitatsu? Can we just kill the Bullet Club, for God's sake?
I think that's still going to take some time, because I still believe that there's money to be made if there's a match to like disband them all together. The only problem is, I mean, you've kind of got to build to that if you're gonna do it, and if you're not gonna do it, it's kind of just like, well,
you know, it's been 4 years, and you know, we have hit the saturation point. I mean, I think in contrast, you know, all this tour, you know, Los Ingobernables de Japón, we're teasing like a new member. You know, they were teasing it, even though it was quite obviously evil, because you could still see his fingers taped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dressing up in the in the suit with the theater mask again.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like it was great that it turned out to just be the Ingobernables, you know, messing with everybody again. You know,
the usual.
rather than adding their 15th member. I mean, can we be honest here? What the hell purpose does Chase Owens serve?
They needed somebody from the NWA representing them.
I mean, what purpose? I mean, Jeff Jarrett claims Bullet Club now. I mean,
I think that was like a one-time thing, and then never really saw him again. So it's just that's fine.
No. We never saw him again in New Japan, but now he still wears Bullet Club gear.
Doesn't matter. He's not in New Japan.
Yeah. Well. Okay. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, do we even know if Terrible and Rey Bucanero are they still part of Bullet Club? Because they still can't. I don't even think they know half the time. Because last time I saw a match with Terrible, you know, where he was, you know, wearing Bullet Club gear, he was wearing the original Bullet Club shirt. You know, the bullet design when it was just Devitt, Anderson, Fale, and Tonga.
Maybe he likes the classics.
Maybe. I don't know.
He's in the crate. He's got some vintage gear.
But, yeah, I mean, Chris, do you remember when we were talking earlier this year that we could actually have seen Chaos against Bullet Club in, like, a Dragon Gate-style unit-must-disband match?
Yeah, I do vaguely recall that.
Yeah, I think now we need to demand this happens at this point. Yeah, and yes, I do mean with Chaos too, because I don't think Chaos serves any point at this point either. I mean, they're just their own. I mean, yeah, they're their own clique.
Mm-hmm.
But what purpose do they actually serve at this point?
I think if you're really going to push this idea too, they may just have to wait to see how Wrestle Kingdom fares out, because some way, somehow, by the grace of God Almighty himself, Kenny Omega walks away with that championship. They could do something with... They could obviously do something with that, where Bullet Club has taken Chaos's greatest property, so Chaos in return, they're just going to take Bullet Club out of the picture permanently. I mean, it's an idea.
Well, that would mean, you know... That would also mean, like, Hirooki Goto actually, you know, does something.
I mean, you could use it as a vehicle for such a thing, true, but are they going to do it? Probably not, because we know at this point Goto... Probably not, because at this point we just know with Goto, it's always close, but not quite.
Yeah.
Every single time.
So, anyway, that show leads... So, New Japan Road, Gunbaro Uenuma 2016 leads into... King of Pro Wrestling. However, there is a very obvious omission from this card, which is Kazuchika Okada is not on this show. And that's because he is actually going to Pro Wrestling Noah. He and Yoshihashi will be going up against... And I wish Steve was here, because he probably knows better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be, it's going to be Okada and Yoshihashi against the GHC heavyweight tag team champions, Naomichi Marufuji and Chaos's Toriano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's actually for those belts or not, or if it's just a prelude match because of Okada against Marufuji.
I believe it is for the belts themselves. I'm actually researching that right now just to make sure, but I believe it was a GHC heavyweight championship match. I'll find us
out. So conceivably, we could see Okada and Yoshihashi retain or win the GHC tag team titles.
Could be feasible.
Of course, you know, that would, you know, have to completely ignore Okada and Yoshihashi's history as a tag team, which is Yoshihashi always takes the fall in their matches.
I mean... Just one of those things, man. I mean, yeah. Yoshihashi's been making some progress. Let's not fully.
Well, that much is true. That might be the weirdest, and that might be the weirdest story in New Japan in 2016. Is that the breakout of Yoshihashi?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do our year end wrap up show, you know, coming
the
up.
The 1 year anniversary is coming up on top of it too, which is the crazy part.
Oh yeah, it's right. Yeah, wow. How do you like that?
It's been an interesting year, definitely.
What a year to start a podcast.
No kidding, right? Just pro wrestling in general this year has been strange, in the best and kind of weirdest way possible. Just
did you see the weirdest? Did you see the weirdest thing to happen yet?
Hmm?
If we're gonna go, we're gonna go slightly off topic. The weirdest thing that happened yet, which was Nikon Lee, the female referee from Big Japan.
Oh yes,
worked the NXT show on Saturday.
Yep, I did see
that.
Oh
no, or was it Friday? No, it was Friday.
It was this weekend. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Friday. So wow.
But yes,
of all people.
Mm-hmm. And I did research as well. Yeah, for Autumn Navigation, they've made the match officially for the GAC heavyweight tag belts. So
wow. Okay. Then.
And it's going to be the prelude for basically the Narufuji's heavyweight match. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. For the singles match. So
let's run down King of Pro Wrestling real quick. I mean, once again, we could run down the whole show. That takes place on Monday, October the 10th at Sumo Hall at Tokyo Ryugoku Kokugigan.
Yep.
This is probably the last really big show of the year for New Japan.
Yeah.
The opening match is listed as a TV anime Tiger Mask double broadcast anniversary special match between Tiger Mask double and Red Death Mask. Have you watched the first episode of that show? Because it just came out yesterday.
I watched the live stream for it.
JB, have you seen it yet or no?
Yeah, man, it's pretty corny, but it's great.
Oh, it's corny as hell.
It's corny, but it's good in that particular perspective. So I am completely okay with it.
It is the fromage is high on this one.
Oh yes, easily.
It is such a throwback too. I mean, even the animation, the animation style, the story structure, and you know, sadly, the tropes.
It's toy animation. I'm not surprised by any of this.
Yeah, but I mean, it is so. I mean, you can see it may have been purposely retro.
Oh easily.
Because of, yeah. I mean, they were trying to do this. It wasn't just happenstance. They were trying to go retro on this.
Yep, they're just doing it. And if anything, the most interesting part to me, it's not just the whole obvious plot between the two tigers clashing against each other, but how they're going to be using the new Japan guys into the fold as well, too, because we saw Okada for a little bit on episode one, and then we've seen, obviously, silhouettes of, you know, Tanahashi's going to be involved in it somehow, as well as Makabe, Yuji Nagata. So I'm curious to see how those guys are going to get used.
Now, here's the thing I'm going to bury about this. Why the hell is Kazuchika Okada not doing his own voice? Because he has voice acting credits.
And I understand that, and I did give that some thought too, and more than likely, it's just the studio just decided to go, yeah, we're going to go with our own casting rather than having Okada and then the other guys, because Tana isn't doing his voice either for it.
Okay, but Togi Makabe is. Why Togi Makabe and not the guy who's actually has anime voice acting credits?
I am kind of wondering about that personally. Just
only so much time that you can spend selling noodles. So I can see Makabe being like, yeah, I can fit some time in.
Makabe's just like, I've got nothing else going on. Fuck it.
There's no new candies to eat on TV shows right now.
I still find it hilarious that Makabe, former IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and this is what we know him for these days.
Sweets Makabe.
Amazing.
It won't be known for his commentary on the Destruction shows, because he was, he was kind of rambly a little bit on those shows.
Yeah,
when he was doing when he was doing commentary,
his commentary was just grunting.
Yeah, pretty much.
All he did, like, sporadically, was just grunt, and that's it. That was his feedback.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least you get some excitement out of Liger when you hear, oh!
Liger is a very excitable person altogether. I can tell you this just from meeting him in person. Like, he is just
did you all
ball
see that
of
picture of Liger with Liger with, I guess, Mecha Mummy was doing a Liger impersonation, as was Kikutaro.
Yep.
I still have not found out what the origin of that picture is.
Pro wrestling, man. That's all I'm going to chalk it up to.
So, anyway. So, do we even know if this is a... Is this going to be an actual match, or is this going to be, like, an anime match?
I think they're just doing the match basically for, I guess, showcasing it with the show in Japan or something like that.
Right, but are we gonna have like actual wrestlers wrestling in this, or is it gonna
probably
be, you know, something on the? Is it animated? Is what I'm asking.
I think it'll probably just be a match. It's just a matter of hey.
So will Tiger Mask 4 be in the part of Tiger Mask W, or
who knows? I mean, we'll wait and see once they do finally release it on stuff like that. But I will say this in terms of Tiger Mask W as well too, just because I kind of took a look at the casting for the voices and stuff. Kenichi Suzumura and Masakazu Morita are both very good voice actors, so actually them doing Tana and Okada, I'm not as insulted by it as I would have been had it been just, you know, guys that may not fit the particular mold for those two. Although obviously it would have been nice to have seen Tana try his hand at voice acting for the first time, and then Okada kind of, you know, do his own thing since he's done it for Card Fight Vanguard as well as for World Trigger in one of the episodes.
Yeah. So, that's something too. He's done voice acting for a character that wasn't him. You know, he wasn't playing himself like he did for Buddy Fight.
It looked like him, definitely, but it wasn't him.
It wasn't him. It was based on him, but it wasn't him. All right, moving on. Next, Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay against Adam Cole, Yujiro Takahashi, and Bone Soldier.
We already know who's carrying this match.
I think Cole. Well, actually, I actually have faith in four people in this match. It's the other two that are going to bring this straight to hell, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, following that, Togi Makabe, Tomoki Honma, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Bobby Fish against Toriano, Jado, Rocky Romero, Trent Barreta. Yes, that's right. Jado is in another match.
Yep, it's Jado. It'll be okay. I don't think it'll be as funny as it is with Gato getting in on those, but hey.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the reason why they are the world-class tag team. moving on. This one I'm actually looking forward to, despite one person in this match, but I am looking forward to this one. Another New Japan versus Noah clash. Between it's the dads, all four of the dads, against Goshi Ozaki, Maybach Taniguchi, Katsuhiko Nakajima, who I still think we could have argued was the MVP of G1, and Masakita Miya.
Yeah, this is gonna be a brawl. It's gonna be great. Especially
I still think they're trying to lead up to Goshi Ozaki challenging for the Never Belt because he and Shibata were going at it at the the G1 final and at the last Lionsgate show. I mean, there was so much extracurriculars between Shibata and Shiozaki. Like, you know that those two are setting those two up against each other.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, the Shibata's body actually holds for a Wrestle Kingdom match. So,
which means I wonder if we might see Kyle O'Reilly against Go Shiozaki coming up soon.
Nah, who knows? Could be something out of that. But it'll be, if it's anything like that G1 climax final where it was the Noah guys against the old dads, I mean, this will get some good reactions from the crowd, so
it will. Although I think on that note, Shibata really needs to like stop with the headbutt spot because that's twice now he's done this.
Yeah. So. It's already uncomfortable enough seeing him do headbutts as it is, and then seeing this once he's done now to Nakajima and the one to Bobby Fish were just. Yeah, we didn't touch on that earlier. Yeah, Katsuhiro Shibata literally headbutted somebody until he bled. Which was just one headbutt, mind you, but it was enough.
Well, I think with the one with Fish, I wonder if he just split it open. You know, his previous wound.
Yeah, that's more than likely.
So,
I don't know. I'm into it.
Gnarly stuff.
Well, I've kind of grown out of my you know fascination with seeing blood in pro wrestling phase. I mean. Yeah, it was cool at you know WrestleMania 13 with Steve Austin, but you know at this point I can't handle it, and that's you know my changing sensibilities, and I recognize this.
I understand, but I mean that's that NJPW Noah. We obviously have the other thing that we were talking about: David Finlay Jr. challenging for another set of belts in this next one
with Ricochet against Matt and against the Young Bucks. Now I know that they had to do that. Put Finlay in there because you know they were kind of stuck and they had to do something and they had to set up a challenge. I'm just wondering, Matt Sydal is not on these cards. I'm just starting to wonder if he maybe is done in New Japan.
I mean, wait and see until after King of Pro Wrestling, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I just wonder if again he might have run afoul of some. You know, restrictive laws. Mm-hmm.
See what happens, but
Yeah. Either way, I saw also at the same time. I also think the Young Bucks retain in this one too. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You know, we shall see. Mm-hmm. I think Kojima, Ricochet, and Finlay are going to retain the Never belts, but
Bucks, you know, retain Ricochet, theirs.
I think the Bucks retain theirs. Yeah. So.
Simple enough.
Up next, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, a match nobody's looking forward to. The Briscoes against the Gorillas of Destiny. I think the viewing public loses this match, to be honest.
Ouch. Harsh. True, but, you know, harsh. But... I think if
they're smart, they'll let the Briscoes retain this.
Because
The Gorillas of Destiny are not over. They are. They just aren't. I'm sorry, Tama. It's just not working. We have to recognize this.
Free Tama Tonga again.
yes, you are due a rematch, but it's not. You're not over. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
All right.
As a team, you're not.
And then after that, we've got Tanahashi, one of his super friends, the junior ace.
Well, two of his super friends. I think Kushida counts as a super friend.
Okay, fair enough. That's two super friends and Jay Lethal against Jose Gobernables de Japón.
Jay Lethal, the face.
I mean, he's got beef with Los Ingobernables and Naito in specific. So I guess that does make sense. This is fine.
I know that Ring of Honor were trying to push towards that, you know, especially in this feud with Adam Cole, but yeah, it took, you know, Naito to finally make him over as a face.
I mean, hey, if you've got to do it, you got to do it. Simple as that. But you've got obvious Tanahashi and Super Friends against Ingobernables War, and I think this may be the first shot that we start seeing towards seedlings of that Intercontinental title match we keep talking about.
Oh boy. JB, I hate you.
We are not going to get over this until there's an actual conclusion to this particular story at the end of the year. They'll just watch us in the one-year anniversary edition talking about Wrestle Kingdom. If this all comes to fruition, I swear.
You know, I've been saying, I'm just saying, I think Steve just might be happy that I'm not burying him today. So,
think up sometimes.
Steve's just at home, like, okay, I escaped the burials today. This is perfect.
You know, Steve actually gave us permission to bury the people responsible for his absence today. But you know, I'm just not feeling it.
I mean, family members and things, those happen. Yeah, so they happen. Moving along, though, because
a match that may not happen.
Depending on the condition of Katsuyori Shibata's spine.
If he does actually make this match, I think Shibata wins. I think Shibata retains.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's Katsuyori Shibata versus Kyle O'Reilly, by the way, which should be a good match, but depending on Shibata's injuries and the extent of them, it's kind of going to sort of limit what he does, probably how long the match goes, quality of the match, definitely. So, but I think if it does happen, Shibata's retaining, and then just from there, maybe they start moving him towards Go to kind of really conclude on the hints that they've been throwing, or against one of the other New Japan guys. Point,
yeah, I mean, I think. Well,
or sorry, Noah,
I mean,
guys, rather.
There's still power struggle to Go, so that means potentially they could have a Never challenge there. But if they miss one show, it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah,
you know, if they miss one show with a Never defense, it won't be the end of the world.
Uh huh.
Afterwards, Kenny Omega against Hirooki Goto.
The rematch of G1 for the briefcase. Challenge, yes. Rights.
And we all know Kenny Omega. I mean, if they're not going to do it at this point, then it's... I mean, nobody ever loses that briefcase. I don't know even know why they do this. Because nobody's ever lost the briefcase from it.
Yet.
Yeah, but I don't think today's going to be that.
No, I don't think. Day, I don't think so either. But I'm just saying, they're probably setting this all up so eventually one day, somebody is going to take that L, and it'll probably be the biggest L. Just yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Either way, Moving on to what's probably going to be the best match of the night.
Ironically, I think we discussed that. I think we said that if Goto was the one who actually won it, we all thought that he was going to be he may be the first to lose it.
Yep. That we did talk about that, yes. But
it ain't going to happen, but it's not happening now. So.
Lo and behold. But, of course, let's move on to what will probably be the best match of the night, which is going to be Kazuchika Okada defending the IWGP Heavyweight Championship against Naomichi Marufuji, which...
Okada is going to get the hell chopped out of him again.
Oh, God, it's going to be great. Like, he's going to get just chopped to all hell, kicked to all hell, but he's still going to retain, which is going to be fine, but Naomichi Marufuji is fantastic as a wrestler. It sucks that he's... It's hard to explain it to me because I feel like he can do so much more than what's been going on with him and Noah, but I also understand loyalty as well in the process, so it's like, it's nice to see him featured like this for once. And
it is, and you know, it's just, yeah, unfortunately Noah has been, you know, JB was talking about an invasion, like the Bullet Club in toto should just go over to Ring of Honor. I'm like, no, and I'm going to say why, because the Suzuki-gun invasion of Noah has just, unfortunately, not been good. Even though I love Minoru Suzuki, it's just the rest of Suzuki-gun.
I mean, we're getting him back soon at the very least, so there is that.
Well, we think we are, but I'm pretty
sure.
No,
none of this negative vibes thing here going on. He's coming back to pile drive people everywhere and put them in sleepers and kick ring boys... and kick young boys out of the apron, and it's going to be great. Positive thinking here,
become
guys.
The wind. Become the wind, okay?
Thank you. Yes. So, yeah, that's King of Pro Wrestling 2016 in a nutshell, folks.
JB, do you have any thoughts here?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it.
He made us wait for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's that.
Any particular matches you're looking forward to, or?
Bone Soldier. You know, I'm looking forward to that, seeing him dominate.
I'm still
well,
just.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? I don't think this is going to make New Japan World, but. You know, after that, there is the show in Taiwan,
yes.
Wrestling World 2016, in which the only match to talk about is Yoshitatsu against Bone Soldier, a singles match.
Look, I'm just waiting for that one moment where Bone Soldier is in like a big 10-man tag match of some sort with the rest of Bullet Club, and just Bullet Club just starts stomping away at him because they just realize what a mistake that was. Mistakes everywhere, but maybe that's just me. Either way, let's move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I mean, it's all possible, but I think the only fellow member of Bullet Club that has yet to get has to that so far has been stomped out is AJ Styles. So,
yeah.
Bullet Club seems to have a high retention rate. I mean, I don't know how it is. They must have good benefits,
mm-hmm.
good benefits, and you know, good medical, dental, and.
Also, as an extra note, to touch on, because apparently ROH All-Star Extravaganza 8 was a thing that happened. You know, Bucks winning, cool. Naito losing, everybody freaking out about it. Gun Kilo.
Yeah, that was
Gun Kilo. Because his Ring of Honor status does not affect what he's going to be doing in New Japan. Outright.
That was just bizarre because, you know, everybody, because, you know, wrestling Twitter has been saying how, you know, Ring of Honor has been New Japan's bitch for, you know, the last couple of years. And then finally we have, like, some major wins happen, you know, a major win for a Ring of Honor guy. I mean, Bobby Fish beat Ishii, but that was for a Ring of Honor title, you know. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, Lethal beats Naito, and suddenly, you know, We want Ring of Honor to start winning some of these New Japan matches, but no, not against Naito. My God, what are you doing? What?
Just calm down. Like, do they not realize Jay Lethal was their champion for the longest freaking time? Like, And not to mention that, but a guy that unified both their world and TV titles in the process. Just wrestling fans sometimes just, the lesser said, the better.
I thought it was dumb. The criticisms I was seeing were just dumb. But unfortunately, I didn't get to actually see the show, unfortunately, which is rather tragic because we had another, apparently, five-star match of year candidate outing between Kame Itachi and Dragon Lee.
Which, again, to the surprise of no one.
Yeah, that's becoming one of my favorite feuds. Yeah, I mean, well, that has been one of my favorite feuds. Mm-hmm. In pro wrestling.
Yeah, there was a reason initially when Kame Itachi got announced for PWG Bola that I was hoping they'd get Dragon Lee in there, but apparently he was fighting injuries and whatnot initially during the time that they were announcing entrance for Bola, because...
Well, not only that, but, I mean, well, there's another issue there, too, which is AAA and CMLL don't like their wrestlers being on each other's shows. Like, even in indies, like, if they get wind that if CMLL gets wind that AAA talent's on a show, on an indie show that one of their guys has been booked for, they'll pull their guys, or vice versa.
But I mean, there was the fact that Pentagon and Phoenix were AAA guys, were in the same show as Kame Itachi, who's a CMLL New Japan.
Well, no,
guy,
he's not. So. Well, he's a New Japan guy working Ring of Honor right now. He's done in CMLL.
Hmm.
Kame Itachi's done in CMLL now.
Yeah, well.
On that note, though, Phoenix is no longer in AAA. Did you see that?
I do remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's now Rey Phoenix, and he had to alter his mask slightly so that AAA doesn't go bananas.
Which, hey, one of those things. It's one of those things where you just handle stuff accordingly, and he'll do fine. Like, he's made a niche for himself between Lucha Underground, some of his stuff in AAA, and then some of the stuff he's been doing in the independent circuit as well, too.
Also on All-Star Extravaganza, Adam Cole, of course, retained against, the former IWGP Intercontinental Champion, Michael Elgin. Yep. So, hey, there you go. Another Ring of Honor win over New Japan, because Michael Elgin's New Japan guy now.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. ACH Kushida and Jay White beat the Briscoes and Yano in their own six-man comedy titles, which, when that match was first announced, it was ACH, Leo Rush, and Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they said that something to the effect of, Alex Shelley is sending Leo Rush on a European excursion because apparently Alex Shelley has this power in Ring of Honor.
Of all things, Alex Shelley. Okay.
I mean, I like Alex Shelley. I talked to him quite a bit on the Twitters, but...
No, I just find it interesting that he'd have that kind of booking ride, so...
Yeah, apparently he has this power to send Leo Rush to Europe, so...
All right, cool.
Yeah, so, which is saying, because I really would have liked to have seen Leo Rush in this match, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we got Kushida out of it, so it's not everything was bad after all.
Yeah, and... Apparently, the main event was a hell of a match. The Young Bucks beating the Motor City Machine Guns and
the Addiction.
A bleeding like a stuck pig, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
Oh, ladder wars in general, that's probably one of the few things that I, in regards of Ring of Honor, that I will give them credit for. Ladder wars have not happened that often, so when they happen, they actually do feel pretty special. And from what I've been reading and such, the vibe on that was just the same as the other ones that lived up to the expectations of it. So,
from what I hear, the Addiction actually got a standing ovation. I guess the Addiction really got over positively.
Yeah, Chris Daniels' promo leading up to that match, talking about the titles and everything else, was some of his best that he's spoken of in, like, years. I mean, he's always been a good promo, but, like, damn, he went off on that. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I think it's weird, though, that they say that, and JB, you've been to a Ring of Honor show, a couple of Ring of Honor shows, too. Mm-hmm. You know how they had that thing at the beginning of the show saying, we do not allow, coarse language to be used, and you'll be tossed out, and yet So you can't swear in Ring of Honor, but this is the third. This is the third Ring of Honor pay per view where we've had blood. Because you know, with you know Daniels bleeding like this, Steve Corino at what was it? Best in the World, I think. You know, that match without honor he had, and then you know, both Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe bled hard way at Death Before Dishonor. So blood's okay, but don't drop an F bomb. Okay. Sure thing.
There you go.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the way it is.
All right, well.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't. But yeah, anyone who's freaking out about Jay Lethal beating Naito just really seriously needs to calm the hell down because, yeah, I am going to spoil something about the TV tapings that happened last night though. If you didn't see that, because I got that post up rather late in the day, I don't know if you saw that. Did you see Raijin and Fujin, Sho Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu were at this show?
Nice.
On Kamitachi beat Tanaka in a dark match, which why you didn't commit that to tape is beyond me. That's one of those weird things. And then both Tempura boys, as they call themselves, Tanaka and Komatsu, Raijin or Raijin and Fujin, depending on your sensibilities, They faced off against Colt Cabana and Dalton Castle, who I guess are now a regular tag concern because I guess they won the number one contendership match for the tag titles at the pay-per-view. So
yeah, it's interesting to say the least. Just yeah, I mean New Japan, they're doing different things all over the globe here and. It's nice to see a couple of these guys really getting to succeed. In regards to Dalton Castle, I think that's a rant for an entirely different time, but I feel this guy's the one that they should be strapping with a rocket right now and pushing to the moon there.
Oh, beyond a doubt. I mean, beyond a doubt. Yeah, they should have. He should have been holding a belt a while ago.
Mm-hmm. But, again,
as over as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, it's something that's worth discussing because, I mean, look at the talent that Ring of Honor's lost this year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they're going to, you know, they've lost. Who have they lost? They've lost, well, I mean, they lost AJ Styles, but, you know, that was New Japan, really.
Cedric Alexander,
Moose.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Who else? Oh, Roderick Strong.
Yeah,
I mean he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean how the hell do you lose the guy that you call Mr. ROH? I mean,
just a lot of it, Dave. We could be discussing this all night at this point, but yeah. we'll save it later for a different time, different place altogether. Yeah. But I mean, outside of you know, obviously. All sorts of extravaganza and things like that. We've kind of covered everything that there is New Japan wise up until Power Struggle really happened. So,
hey, on that note, did you see the news about six of the New Japan guys being in a video game?
Yes, over for the Yakuza series, Ryuga.
Yeah,
don't remember the exact.
Yeah. I remember who it was, but I've never played the series. Have you ever played
the series? Yakuza? It's pretty fun. It's actually a pretty fun series of games, and
is it a fighting game?
It's basically, I would say, if you really take the GTA aspects, but you actually give it a full-fledged story within the Japanese underworld, and you have kind of this live interactive city behind it, this is what you get with Yakuza. You get a lot. It's a really good amount of storytelling in it, which is awesome. So,
right.
But I haven't played that many of them. I believe I've just played like the first two of the series, but I've heard very good things about the following sequels. Like it's been one of those series that's gotten better and better with the more that's been played. If anything, I'll give a shout out to Keiko right now, wherever she is. She, basically a friend of mine, big New Japan fan as well too. And she's a big fan of the series as well too. And she's highly recommended it. So figured put her over in the process here.
Right. Well, in the meantime, as for who's going to be in the game, it was
Tanahashi, Okada.
It was Tanahashi, Okada, Makabe, Tenzan, Kojima.
Makabe and Yano, I believe, were the other two.
Yeah, I think that's right, actually. Yeah, Makabe and Yano.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me make that. Oh, no, Naito.
Oh, Naito?
Makabe, Naito.
Oh, thank you, yeah. Huh.
Tanahashi, Okada, Tenzan, Kojima, Naito, and Toriano.
Well, there we go then. So, yeah, it's really cool that they're kind of... And because the other thing, too, is that the guys who develop the Yakuza games, they're big pro wrestling fans as well, too, and big New Japan fans. So that's actually not entirely surprising that they're doing something. Like, they finally got the chance to do something like this, that they incorporated it. So
why the hell are we not getting a New Japan console game anytime soon?
Hey, ask Bushiroad, man. I don't know these things.
I mean, you think. I mean, especially with, you know, game technology being what it is now.
Could just be they haven't found the right developer for it.
That's true. I mean, it could be. But, I mean, they used to. I mean, remember when, you know, remember when they were partially owned by a video game company?
Yeah.
With Yuke's.
Yeah.
I mean, that was back during, you know, what we call the dark period, but...
They did have it, yeah. Yeah. I'd say it'd be nice to see it with time, and it seems like New Japan is trying to expand itself on an entertainment aspect, obviously, with all of these different kind of projects that they're kind of incorporating into stuff. So something like this could easily be an eventual gateway into them someday getting their own specific New Japan Pro Wrestling game again. So wait and see.
I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, it would be nice to fire up the old console and... You know, play New Japan. I mean, yeah, there's you know, the WWE 2K17. You could always make wrestlers, but you know,
I definitely feel that there is a difference between having to, you know, customize and make your stuff and take the time with that to having something that's authentically a New Japan game. You know, that has the feel of the different arenas that they go to, that has those wrestlers, their music, their entrances as they come out and stuff like that, and the atmosphere and everything. I feel especially now, in this particular era that New Japan's in, they could have, you know, with their roster right now, make a pretty good game out of it.
I think they could. I mean, yeah. They definitely could with their current roster, yeah, because they have many and varied personalities now, probably more so now than in any time in their history.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, personalities help fuel video games, you know?
Yeah. It's just one of those things where they probably just need really the right game developer to develop the vision of it and such. Hey.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in that regard, but I mean...
Yeah, but, okay, so Yakuza 6 is, I guess, coming out in December in Japan. No word on an English port, or whether or not, if there is an English port, if the New Japan guys will even be featured in it. So
more than likely they've kept the games. They've really just changed the name for the most part of it. But I think if we do get the port of it, it'll probably happen sometime in middle of 2017. If it does get, make its way to North America. Cause I believe, Yakuza 5, actually, well, they got Yakuza 5 out, but it took them a little while to do it in North America. It got released, actually, late last year, or late, December 8, 2015, I believe, according to what this is showing, so.
Okay. And what was that for, PS4, or?
Yeah, that was on the PlayStation 3, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so PlayStation 3, and they have it through the PSN as well, so.
All right, then. JB, you got anything?
Plugs, all the good stuff. I figure it's that time.
Yeah, I think we're done. I think we've exhausted our topics.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
It's the outside here. Sorry, hold on.
It's you. Okay. All right, JB, go ahead. Plug yourself.
I was just saying, yeah, I got to get out of here, so. I got nothing to add. I don't know. Check out Brain Buster 2019 on Comiker. Check out Screwjob by Hidden Fortress Press. I got a new comic on American Nature called... man, my brain is fried.
Beef Jams. It's pretty bad you can't remember your... It's pretty bad you can't remember the name of your own comic.
Beef Jams. Got a comic that I did for them, so that'll be coming out relatively soon. And
For American Nature, you said?
Yeah.
I think I know who they are, because I think I've seen that character before, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they appear on the Vice website. I think they have a couple of comics up there, but they release their own comics.
Yeah. I seem to recall seeing them at, like, New York or something.
Maybe. They were probably. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, that's really about it. Shout out to Alan Mike over at Virtual Pros.
Hey, Alan Mike.
Yeah, what's up? Get money. And yeah, that's really about it.
All righty. Chris, you got anything?
For me, nothing in particular outside of obviously checking out our Tumblr. Obviously, the iTunes thing being a big thing for us here. Yes, if you want to follow my stuff on Twitter, that's just at Brazilian_Fury. So there's that, too, for the personal one.
Oh, hey, I want to give a shout-out to the Atomic Elbow Zine, because both JB and I are now sporting some rad, manga-rific Great Muta / Big Van Vader t-shirts. Ooh. That they done made. Oh, yeah.
Set up Robert. Get that money.
But yeah, it's a great shirt, so I just want to publicly say, yeah, it's awesome. And I saw you got one now too, so get on that.
Good stuff.
Although I thought that he was just making the ones. Did you pre-order that?
Yeah, they're all pre-ordered. His shirts are all pre-ordered.
That's what I thought, because I mean, so I don't know if so it's doubtful anybody can still get that shirt, but you never know.
Yeah,
check out the Atomic Elbow.
He might do a re-up, but he also, you know, comes out with new shirts every once in a while, so check him out. And his zine is really good, too, so there's that.
Right on. It's comics and pro wrestling and pro wrestling comics, so.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go. What more do you need? What more does a growing... anyway, I guess I'll plug stuff here. I am Jeffrey Wessel, and... You can follow me on Twitter at Strong Style Story without the E in style. Thanks, stupid Twitter character limits. You can also follow the blog at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. We are on iTunes now. Thanks, Chris. Mm-hmm. Hopefully to be on more platforms soon.
Yep.
If you really want to follow me, talk politics and comics and soccer, you can go to at GD Wessel, that's two S's, one L, for my stuff. So, yeah, I think that's about it. So, everyone, enjoy the shows coming up. Enjoy King of Pro Wrestling. I don't think the New Japan Road Show is going to be on New Japan World, but I haven't looked either. So, and I'm not going to at this point. But if that's on, enjoy that. If not, definitely enjoy King of Pro Wrestling, because that looks like it may actually be a pretty good show. I am going to be stepping out to New York City later this week. So just a service announcement. The blog will be down during that time, so I'm not going to have any live results put up during that time. So maybe when I get back on Sunday the 9th later on, I'll post that before, you know, King of Pro Wrestling happens. So just public service announcement there. I'm good here. JB, Chris, I think you're good too.
Yep.
All right. Well, on behalf of JB Rowe and Chris DeMassino, I am Jeffrey Wessel. This has been episode 14 of the Strong Style Story podcast. Looking ahead. Well, let's see. We got to get a show in. We got to get a show in before the next tour starts, don't we? Before Road to Power Struggle starts.
Just throw up the date on Twitter when we having a concrete date at that point in time, and we'll get.
Well, actually, done. I think yeah. No, let's say October the 16th.
All right,
that's in 2 weeks. We're gonna do a quick turnaround on this one.
Sure, sure.
So October the 16th, which should be our next taping date, and yeah, we'll talk to you then. We'll talk King of Pro Wrestling. We'll talk Power Struggle and other things coming up in New Japan. So
we'll talk too many things. It's fine.
So on behalf of these guys, I'm this guy, and thanks for listening to this show.
Woo!
Take care. Goodbye.
Right. Take care. See you.